Who likes to rock the party party? Corey and Joel do.
Bendable. There we are. Bendable. It's Corey and Joel time, people. Get ready. Bendable. Ah, yeah. Your favorite show is back on the air, kids.
Aaron Gobralis.
Is that what you're saying?
It's a big old St. Patty's Day spectacular.
Well, it is. They're hearing this after St. Patrick's Day.
Sure.
It is St. Patrick's Day.
For us, it is.
For us, today. We haven't done a St. Patrick's Day show.
No.
So something new for us.
I don't think we're going to do one today, but it's going to be fun.
Well, I'm drinking a Guinness.
Okay.
Right now, during the show. Anyway, this is a band called Hot Chip.
Okay.
It's not really Irish. They're from England. That's close.
Sure. Don't tell an Irishman that.
Well, I don't know. To us, it's all the same. They decide to kill each other over that shit, but to us, it's all the same.
Well.
You know?
Hey, that wasn't a bad beat, though, man. I kinda
you like that?
You kind of dug that?
Hot Chip, they got some hip. The break song's real good.
And please,
Hot Chip.
Please welcome Ireland's number one comedian.
Yeah, we do have an actual
Michael Lundy.
An actual Lundy. Irishman with us. Mike Lundy is here, Mike.
Good evening, everyone.
Yeah.
Cheers to you.
We went in Belfast.
We wouldn't do a show without an actual Irishman. So
no.
Mike Lundy.
We brought a real life. Well, Lundy's an Irish. You're black Irish.
No, actually, I don't know. I can't. I've heard we could actually trace our ancestry back to like one Irish guy who fucked a sister somewhere.
Really? Yeah.
Like,
yeah.
Well,
I can't break it down for you.
Would you say like a slave owner type guy, or was it just
no,
some
not
guy
even
like
slave owner.
Some guy in like
what,
New York?
No,
or
by
something?
The way, no
just
Irish
a guy
owned
who,
slaves.
Like immigrated well, like on some Vito Corleone shit. Like,
so really? You say some guy like in like the Lower East Side of New York.
Something like that.
Something
that's what
like
I
that.
Heard from like old senile people. So I don't know how true it is. Not, like
Ruby D.
Like somebody was a Kilpatrick, and you know.
Right.
Well, there's a lot of Irish names floating around the
sure.
black community.
Yeah, and they're like, ain't one no Irish slave on.
Well, there's like a lot of Mix and Max and stuff, and black people that have those names.
Yeah.
McDaniels, McWilliams.
Well,
yeah,
Donovan McNabb.
Yeah.
Yeah. That's the most Irish name.
Exactly.
He can only be called Potato O'Malley and be more Irish.
Yeah.
But no, is Donovan McNabb is.
Yeah, you have an Irish name, but you know.
Yeah, Irish name. I think Lundy is a black Irish name, ain't it?
It is.
Yeah,
it's great. Mike Lundy,
I'm
everybody.
Go find my people over there
from County Clare. Here he is, right now.
What's up?
Anyway, so how are you spending?
You're from County Crystal in Ireland.
County Crystal. That segregated community.
So how are you celebrating St. Patrick's Day? What have you done?
Shit, I delivering gifts, get off work, deliver.
Yeah,
gifts,
he brought us a 6-pack of Guinness, which is great.
Which is, you know what? A black man brought me a black beer. And I'm very, that's very nice. I appreciate that.
And I extended the favor by giving him some gin.
Mm.
So
yes,
it's like we're trading, like with the Indians, with the black and white. You know, they give us one of our drinks, we give them one of their
drinks. Hey, Mike, how about this blanket? No, I didn't put anything on it. Sure, go ahead. There's no smallpox on this blanket.
Yeah.
No sickle cell.
Why you got to bring that up? Now you're bringing him down.
No. It's good. We haven't seen Mike here in a while, and it's good to have him back.
I can't remember when you were here last.
Last time I was here.
You were here about a year ago.
Was it a whole year?
You did your Cosby impression. I remember that.
Was that the last time?
But you did the roast.
I saw that little movie for my class. I videotaped some shit.
Oh, that's right. You videotaped us.
I'm
going to
tell you.
I never saw that. How was that? Did that turn out well?
You know what? I did like a quick 15-minute edit for my class.
Yeah.
I wanted to do a longer edit, so I like kind of got like get my tapes back and like make it longer. But I got an A on it. Everybody liked it.
I never saw how we were used in that, Corey.
I did to our justice.
No,
did we?
I know.
Probably like
y'all was like actually ten, y'all was like the serious part of the
10 guys after
really?
Us probably were like Corey and Joel are douchebags. Yeah, that's probably you know.
No, y'all was like the serious.
Were
part.
We? Were we the stars of that? That's good.
Yeah, it was like, well, you know, in comedy, if you really want to make it, Detroit.
We did kind of get serious.
Yeah. So it was good.
I forgot we did that. But
sometimes
that
if I'm cornered and some idiot asks me about comedy, I actually get all earnest with them.
Yeah.
And I start telling them about, you know, what you really need to
the
do.
The business.
Yeah. But I was surprised. I thought I was going to have the weakest subject, and other people was doing shit on like battered women, which bored the shit out of me.
I tell them what you need to do to tour Northern Indiana.
Yeah.
And other hot spots like that.
So you had to do a documentary? That was the idea with this film?
Yeah, we had to do a documentary, right, man. I'm going to do open mic.
Well, you put it up on YouTube or something. You ever done that?
I asked somebody to put it on YouTube. I guess I got to call them more often.
You
got to
get a DVD and you can put it on YouTube. It's pretty simple.
Man, I don't know all that
Give
shit.
Give me a DVD. I'll put it on YouTube. You. I'll put it on YouTube.
Yeah. I don't have it on. All I got is on the cassette. And I gave the cassette to somebody.
Oh, and they're like, they're going to do it. And
they fucking around, but you know, all right, they still
it,
my man.
Get it back from them.
All right.
Because they're going to leave it in the back of their Lincoln, and it's going to get stolen, and then it's, you know, you have problems.
One of the kids probably fucked with it, to tell you the truth.
Probably recorded over it or something.
Maybe.
You're going to get it back, and it's like some kid banging his girlfriend. That's actually, you probably want that more than the documentary.
Hey, shit, yeah. I'll put that on YouTube. You porn.
There you go, you That's porn. Right. But anyway, Mike's here. We're going to talk about stuff about comedy, but we're also going to talk about, we have a big scandal here in Detroit that you and I haven't even really talked about on this show.
No, we haven't.
But the mayor and the mayor's in trouble, and Mike, as a resident of the city, has an opinion, has a voice.
I got a voice.
He'll explain it all to us. We'll also talk about the governor of New York, Elliot Spitzer, and what he's up to.
Oh, damn. Good God.
It's kind
a lot of
people,
scandal, man.
People are drawing parallels between Kwame and Kilpatrick. Kwame and, I'm sorry, Spitzer.
Kwame and Spitzer.
Spitzer. And so, you know, it's interesting to look at things from, you know.
Mm-hmm.
Different perspectives.
Well, when you're paying for pussy and you got in-house pussy.
All right.
Yeah, but you know, I think they both kind of paid for pussy.
Did they?
Well, one was a hired stripper.
And one, oh, well, okay. One was a hired stripper.
I mean,
one,
there's a difference in how much they paid.
Yeah.
But, you know.
But that, I don't think.
And what they paid
for. Should we just get into this now with the thing? I thought we'd just talk about comedy maybe. But whatever.
Just keep them hanging. Or
keep them hanging. Tease it.
Let's get right into
it. You want to get right into what happened with the mayor? All right. So the mayor.
We got to talk about Saturday Night Live.
We do have to talk about that. So the mayor of Detroit is in trouble because there was this lawsuit.
The great Irish mayor of Detroit.
Kilpatrick.
Yeah.
Mayor Kilpatrick. Mayor Kilpatrick.
Now, I call him Kwame Kilpatrick, and you have a problem with that. What's his actual name?
It's Kwame. You say Kwame.
Okay.
But it's Kwame. I mean, I guess.
How do you pronounce
his middle name Hussein?
But
Kwame Hussein.
How do you pronounce his name?
Kwame.
Kwame. I've said Kwame sometimes. That's a kind of a name where, you know, there are names like that where you kind of. By the way, I hear people say Barack Obama about 14. Barack Obama. I hear people say.
Well, I mean, like, people, you know.
You know, people mispronounce stuff all the time.
Obama.
I mean, it's not like I'm adding a fucking letter in there.
Wait,
or
nobody
something, but
give
it's just
a
like,
fuck. It was just, I just
okay, but you got a problem. You corrected me like 10 times.
I corrected it. It's just funny that you say Kwame.
People call me Fregamini and stuff. I don't give a shit.
I did a gig in Indiana this weekend, and people were like, "You from Detroit?"
Yeah, people call us Detroit.
Detroit.
You know, like, you know, you know, you're in the hills when you hear Detroit.
Yeah, you hear Detroit.
You're from Detroit.
Apparently, the hills is everywhere from New York to California, because everybody outside of this town calls it Detroit.
Yeah.
But anyway.
Yeah, when you hear Detroit, you're hearing we have you know you're in trouble when you hear Detroit.
Yeah.
You hear a lot of stuff. But anyway, so Mike, so the mayor's in trouble now. He was originally there was this lawsuit against the city because police officers got fired.
Sorry, I finally figured out it's a new clip you were pointing towards.
Yeah, but forget about it now because
all right, I've blown it now.
Blown it now. Pay attention.
We'll use it again.
All right. But you know what I'm saying? Like, so he's in trouble because police officers got fired.
He fired some police officers for investigating illegal or suspicious activities amongst him and his administration and his security.
Okay.
And he fired them. He didn't really have the power to fire them. And he lied about firing them.
Okay.
He said he didn't fire them. But then the Detroit Free Press went and found out he sent text messages saying, I fired this guy. Or we should have fired this guy.
Yes.
Which is really the big thing.
All right.
Him fucking his assistant.
The original investigation was, it was same thing with Clinton. Clinton was originally investigated for Whitewater, which was a land deal.
Yeah.
And then that led to, he got a blowjob from his intern. And this was kind of the same deal.
What I understand is that his security, it was a couple things happening at once.
Yeah, a lot of shit.
A couple of guys on his security detail were like old. Where'd he go, to Denby?
No, he went to Cass.
He went to Cass, okay. Whichever high school he went to, he played football, high school football.
Yeah.
And he's in the business of, like, hiring his old friends and neighborhood guys.
He's glad-handing and giving.
So there were a couple old, like, linemen or whatever that were on his team who were on his security detail, and they were doing stuff like they crashed a city vehicle.
Yeah.
They were drunk driving.
Drunk
and, like,
driving.
Crashed a car and then, like, destroyed
overtime,
the car and hit
all
it.
Types of dumb shit.
So that started the internal affairs investigation was what happened with these cars they crashed.
And let's not forget the party that never happened.
Right.
Right. And there was a big party at the Manoogian Mansion, which is the mayoral residence, which was donated in like the 20s.
Wait, not just the party. A party with like strippers.
Right.
And not even good strippers. Like,
did you see the strippers?
I know where the one stripper worked.
It oh, really? It was in,
oh, really?
Were they from 7 Mile or something?
No, this is
like
good.
Someplace on 8 Mile.
Oh, okay.
Now, see, the way this story is being covered is entirely different, and there's two different worlds. I read about it in the newspaper, but then I know that it's being talked about in the community in a different way. And in
totally
fact,
different, Doug.
I'll tell you what, I think it's, I have overheard it in, like, movie theaters. No, I'm serious. I hear, like, black people talking about this thing. Like, it's, you know, not since Watergate has there been a story. I literally went to McDonald's the other day to get a Shamrock Shake. And God, are those delicious. And the girl behind the counter was all like, man, Christine Beatty done said. I'm like, they were talking about it. And the girls at the McDonald's drive-in were talking about it.
Well, that's because Detroit is so small. Everybody knows somebody who knows somebody.
This is some juicy story. Right.
So basically, he was they did an investigation. And the city was found guilty of firing these guys in a trial. And they had to settle with these guys.
Right.
That the guys that sued the city because they were fired, okay? And as part of that, they looked into these text messages where you said he admitted he did wrong, and they also found that he is text messaging some a woman who worked in his staff.
Christine Beatty.
Which is named Christine Beatty, who it turns out, you know, they were having an affair, and he didn't. And so that became an issue, too, because...
Well, that's what sales
they
papers.
Asked
Nobody
him,
don't care about that.
But I think the deal is that they asked him on trial if they had a relationship, and they both denied it. They were both on the stand in this particular trial. So now they're saying you could stand trial for perjury. And that's kind of where he's
and
at now.
On top of all that, unrelated to that trial specifically, is there was one of the strippers that was at the allegedly at the party, Tamara Green...
She was
also
murdered.
Known as
Execution
Strawberry.
Style. Strawberry. I like when they say Strawberry.
Yeah, when they're like, who killed Strawberry?
Strawberry, also known as Tamara Green. I'm like, no, she's Tamara Green.
Yeah, I know. But she anyway, one of the strippers was killed
okay.
in like a drive-by.
Well, that'll
and
happen.
Now people are, there's no
it wasn't
actual.
Even a drive-by, really.
Oh, really? It was like a.
They're saying it's a drive-by. A drive-by is somebody drive-by, the bullets
randomly.
Shoot, and you could tell ballistically it was a drive-by. No, somebody
they
walked
slowed,
up
they
and
slowed
like,
down,
shot
her, and
her.
Then got back in the car?
Yeah.
So it was an execution style. Anyway, that's hanging over. No one's actually made a case on that yet, but that's hanging over everything.
All right, but basically what the mayor's actually in trouble for is perjury.
Yes.
Did he lie about this affair with Christine Beatty?
Right.
And that's what might...
Well, no, that's what's selling and getting ratings.
It's the fact that he fired the cops.
Why is he... Why would he be removed from office?
Because...
For lying about firing the cops. Because that's the real issue.
The city settled... The city lost the case. He made the city go to court. Over this, the firing of these cops, when they could have taken a settlement for less.
Okay, so what is he going to be charged with? He's going to be charged
perjury.
With perjury.
Perjury,
okay,
yeah. Obstruction of justice.
Okay, so they want to charge him with stuff, and if they do, I don't think he has to resign. See, the thing is, the mayor, I don't think has to resign, and even if he's like indicted,
the city council's asked him to resign.
They've asked him to, and he refuses.
Yeah.
And I don't know even if he's – I think if he's convicted, I think he would have to leave. I at that point, I don't even know that he's – what the law is about when he would have to leave office.
If he convicted or
– Well, I mean, if he goes to jail, then obviously he can't be the mayor. But, I mean, like, I don't think there's any
city bylaw. But
like,
you know what I heard from, like, people who work in the city, it has to be cost efficient. Like, to put Kwame Kilpatrick on trial for perjury – it's going to go out about a year.
Okay.
Yeah.
Spend so much money. And then you have to like, well, what's perjury? You know, what's charge? Are you going to charge him about his affair, which is stupid? You know, who gives a fuck? Or are you going to charge him about the firing of the cops? Which, if we charge him about the firing of the cops, we end up paying more money than we already paid to the cops. So it's like a catch 22.
Well,
it's like we're putting a jam.
Yeah. Somewhere in the neighborhood of $8 or $9 million.
So
dollars.
Wouldn't the best thing for him to do then is to resign?
The best thing for him to do would be to stay in office because
the only reason
he is in office, no, the only reason he is in office is because he's making a lot of people money who really, a lot of people who want to develop downtown Detroit and bring in new businesses and do a lot of ventures, you know, hey, fuck all of that, Kwame. We want to get our money, so we really don't care. If he wasn't making the city any money, if nobody made any deals with him, if he didn't set up so many plans and programs and stuff to actually – basically, get people rich.
Seriously?
No, I see.
Are you fucking high?
Yeah, I
well, no.
No.
Estimated. No, this is not that he already has made people money. No, Kwame.
Yeah, but he cost the city $9 million
but he has
in a lawsuit.
He has relationships with a lot of people who want to do business in the city of Detroit.
Not now they don't.
Yeah, but people. I know what you're saying and some level, but you have to remember, people from the outside that want to do business in Detroit aren't going to want to deal with this guy because he's
crooked. If they can make money, who give a fuck?
But I mean, but there's already people that have cut deals with him. That's fine, but
well,
I mean,
we need more.
Mike, I thought you were going to be sensible on this, but you are actually. So,
wait, no, I'm in no way defending Kwame Kilpatrick. As a matter of fact, I care less about him.
Yeah.
He fucked up too much. I really wish you would quit. I don't care.
You're not
about
embarrassed
him.
By this guy.
Yeah, but you don't think that
you actually live in the city.
Am
you're
I
an actual resident?
Am I embarrassed? That's like, I'm not embarrassed by him. I'm not embarrassed by Favor Flav. No other guy can make me embarrassed.
Okay.
About shit. I don't.
All right, but don't you think that for the city, which is already having economic problems that aren't necessarily, I
that
mean, some
he, that he should resign.
Don't you think it would be the best thing
yeah.
to move on and get a new leader of the city?
Yeah, okay. I think it would.
All right, so we
but
were
he
in
won't
agreement
for financial
on that.
Reasons.
I know. Don't think he will either.
It's
and
just
that's
a
what,
hard fight.
But
I
that's
mean,
what scares me about him is that the guy will
the
never
is,
resign.
Kwame Kilpatrick, he's smart. He already set him up at the state of the city address. He said, you guys should be working with me instead of against me. And he started calling out the city council members like, you know,
yeah
Ken Cockrell, we should be on the side together and you shouldn't be working against me. So, you know,
but,
he
you
already
know,
set
but
that
what
up
else
hard.
He did is he also embarrassed the city because at the end of his state of the city address.
Yeah.
He went on and said, I haven't been called the N-word this much in my entire life. And people are harassing his
family. He turned
it
on everybody.
And he used – now, this guy had a funeral for the N-word. He organized in the city, said no one should ever use the N-word because it's awful and we're going to bury it and we're never going to use it again. And then when it became advantageous to turn people towards his side, at least his people in the city, he went out and used it on TV in front of everybody. Now, isn't that hypocritical?
But that's PR, man. He being tactical. He, you know – the N-word is drawing a lot of attention right now, so if he go out there and say it, it's going to draw a lot of attention.
I understand that, but
this could very well be the stupidest person on the face.
No,
of
he shouldn't have said it.
He
know.
Shouldn't have said it.
Somebody, I was kind of defending him saying it, and then somebody told me like, no, he is a mayor.
Yeah, he's not.
Yeah,
he's
so
not. He's not.
The fact
you
that
know,
he's a mayor,
I mean,
yeah, he shouldn't have said it. So.
Yeah, I don't think that there's any. That's no. You can't go on TV and say the N-word. You know, unless it.
But when you get away with killing a stripper and fighting.
Well, I know, but I feel you can only really use.
Wife, you know.
I don't feel there's any good way to use the N-word. Okay,
nah,
except
what the nigga gonna do? Eat some more.
Except in a few good jokes.
Except
that's the only way to
yeah.
use it. Corey's the only one that can use the N-word now.
I can't believe this is the first time in this show we haven't said nigger.
Well, I'm trying.
I'm like,
to
we're
be,
suddenly we're not going
to. I'm
say
trying
it.
To be tactful.
I know.
I'm trying
he,
to not.
Oh, come
oh he's
on.
Leaving now.
Oh,
see,
come on. Now the way though Kwame came out and he was totally baiting people and like he
just basically accused all white people of thinking he's a nigger and it's not right. You can't do that.
That's twice.
That's
all right. All right, but he broke the ice on that one. That's all.
I'm just saying.
But we don't all think. You know what I mean? People
please,
don't.
Mike, you get 4 free honkies.
Wow, honky. Yeah.
You can call
hurt somebody's feelings.
Right. Cracker, honky, whatever you want.
You can call me a dago.
But you know what? Kwame Kilpatrick, like I said, there's so many people. Man, you okay? You got the what is her name? Chief Bullings, chief of police.
Ella Bully Cummings.
Christine Beattie.
Ella Bully
before
Cummings.
This, half his administration. So many people, and they all went to CAS, which is really fucking me up because I went to CAS too.
So but that's people, what I'm saying. He brings in his
yeah.
People.
So many people he put in a position that could probably fire him or get rid of him. They put in that position by favor. So it's like me coming on this show. If I get paid and like, you know, talking shit about Corey and Joe. Like, if y'all paid me to be on the show, how could I talk shit
well,
about
Well, we
so
can't.
I'm
going to pay you in a Crunch Crisp bar.
Give me that shit, man.
Give him one of those. That's
give me
fine.
Two. One
give,
for each.
What for each N word? You're saying you get a
you know what,
Joe?
That's going to keep you
candy
from,
bar for each N
That's
going to
keep
N-word.
Us from saying them.
Wow.
Well, there you go.
That's the most niggering deal I've ever heard of.
Oh,
is that.
Now I get one.
All right. Well, okay. Fine.
We're eating all the Joel's. Joel, by the way, almost cried when I ate this before.
Well, you know
hard
what?
To
okay. There's just to give people an update on the Crunch Crisp bar when Steve Brewer was in here.
The Crunch Crisp situation.
Steve Brewer found some at a gas station, and I actually saw a TV commercial for him the other day. So I have a feeling that they're not going to be as rare as they have been.
All right, I'm going to look for one, and I'll buy you a pack.
Well, they actually make a big one, like, you know, a wide, like an actual, not a little fun-size one like
yeah.
we've been eating. So, but that's a good, you like that candy bar? How's that?
It's actually kind of good.
It's pretty good, right? Mm-hmm. The Crunch Crisp. All right. So anyway, so I think the mayor should step down. I think he's giving the city a bad name.
He should, but like.
That would be the best thing for the city. I know
like
it wouldn't be
people,
the best thing for
yeah.
him. It would be the best thing for the city.
But a lot of people say that about Clinton, and it's like. when you get in politics and you got so many relationships, so many businesses going, it's like if he stepped down, he really got, you know, he got a lot of people he owe.
Okay, but I mean,
but yeah, I do think he should step down. I think he fucked up.
I'm gonna say something.
I don't have no type of sympathy toward him, whatever. No. Fuck him.
I know that legally, perjury is perjury. Right? Perjury is the same crime. Lying under oath is considered a crime, no matter what you lie about. But in Clinton's case, and I can't believe I'm going to defend Clinton because I'm so tired of Hillary right now. But what he was lying about wasn't material to anything criminal.
Well, okay. I mean,
Kwame's lie more than him banging his
exactly
his, more than banging his horse face.
And that's irrelevant.
His horse face chief of staff. Nobody. That's not important. They lied about the fact that they had made a politically motivated decision to fire the guy.
Exactly. The whole sex scandal and that was irrelevant
directly
to everything.
And that directly impacted the decision to go to trial and cost the city more money than it should have. So he actually committed a crime that was hurtful to the city and was hurtful to these guys' careers.
But he's, you know, the point is he's
like, shit, they got $9 million. I wish I had a
career. I don't feel that he's ever going to step down. And I don't feel like, unless there's anything that they can remove him from office, which I'm sure there's ways that between the city council or some, I don't know if the state house has anything.
Quietest
to do,
is kept. Like I said,
I have
talked about this, and I stopped myself talking about it in many conversations. But once they link that party and that murder to Kwame Kilpatrick, he'll be forced to step down.
I don't know. I don't think he'll ever step down.
It's enough evidence.
Look, you're not old enough to remember Coleman Young, who did all kinds of weird
shit. Coleman
Young
was just like a crazy old guy who said fuck everybody.
No, but he had some weird money deals with South Africa. He was into all kinds of shit.
He didn't murder a stripper.
I understand that, but they'll never prove that Kwame murdered that stripper anyway, or one of his people did. I don't know that that'll ever happen.
I think they can.
But
well,
you get enough text messages.
Here's the thing.
If he was stupid enough, what man is stupid enough to text message his jump off bus, though?
Right.
What the fuck is wrong? Okay, if you stupid enough.
Hold on a second. Anyway,
it wasn't just a text message.
He text messaged
on a city purchase
phone. Okay.
If he is
even the worst part.
If he is that stupid, it's going to be something in them text messages that say, that party was out cold. What about that stripper? You mean the one strawberry? Yeah. And that's it.
Were you familiar with the work of Strawberry before her untimely passing?
I couldn't tell you. I don't know. I've been a motherfucker.
Do you feel like
she work at? Do you know what club she works at?
She worked somewhere on 8 Mile, last I heard.
Yeah.
I think she worked there more than once.
BT's, Tycoon.
And I hate, the news is like doing this thing where they want to stop calling the Strawberry because it's like demeaning. They want to call back.
Yeah.
Like, her name is Tamara Green. You know, okay, whatever. I'm not familiar with her, but once they link that up,
you feel like there's going to be a text message like the strawberry lies in the patch or some cryptic bullshit like that that's going to come out?
I think it is.
All right.
I guess what's really bothering a lot of people, and I see this is a case just like OJ, where white people and black people have very different ideas about this thing.
I can't say that, but go ahead. I'll let you make your paint. Go ahead.
I mean, not all. I can't ever say everybody. I don't think every black man on earth thought OJ was innocent.
No.
Not as far as Kwame, but yeah.
But in a larger cultural sense, I hear two different arguments being made here. Now, Spitzer, the governor of New York, he resigned in about 48 hours.
Yeah.
And he was busted committing a crime, too, which is prostitution.
I understand that. But the thing with Kwame, though, don't you feel like amongst people that, like, in the city, there is a large movement that he's getting a raw deal? Is that the case or is it not the case?
No.
Most people actually agree with me and
Most
Corey,
stupid people are sitting there defending Kwame Kilpatrick because he can make a good speech.
Give us some kind of percentage. Estimate, in your opinion, at the barbershop, what's the percent? Give me a number. How many people defend you?
30%. Okay, I got to put it like this. 30% of people really don't give a fuck.
Okay.
And their opinion is, fuck it. He fucked up, whatever, but I'm not going to protest of it. You got a couple percentage of people who really are like staunch supporters because, you know, they got like battered wife syndrome. They get their ass beat and somebody give a good speech and they feel good about it. Then the rest of the people are like, look, this dude is fucking up. We need to get rid of him. I'm tired of it. That's the most. a lot of people marching downtown before the State of the Union address, right, or the State of the City address. So it's like, I think it's more people wanting to step down.
Right. And are we moving that way, or are more people going in that direction?
Yeah, more people
to get
are
rid
going
of
in that.
So the ball is rolling to get rid of him.
But the thing is, it's so hard to fight with logic against these people. It's like, yes, Kwame Kilpatrick, we should stick by his side. We should stick by his brother. I'm like, fuck this brother.
But isn't that people in the city, I'm not saying just black people, have people who've been in trouble, who've been in jail or have been arrested, and they tend to defend themselves because they always feel like people are getting everyone's always innocent of things. Don't they kind of protect
at
each
one
other
point,
that
at
way?
At one point.
Don't they always, don't you all protect each other? Not y'all, but I mean, like,
you know what, though?
It depends. I mean, when you, look, if you are given a position where you could do so much and you just keep doing dumb shit, like, okay, look. I work at the Detroit Opera House.
Okay.
A young black man working at the Detroit Opera House, I know it's some shit I need to, like, stop doing. Like, I cannot drink too much.
Yeah.
I cannot have my pants sagging.
All
it's
right.
Just, I know
you
I'm
cannot drink grape soda and eat.
I got to be on my P's and Q's. All
right.
He is a young black man under the light of the whole country, and he's just fucking up left and right. Yeah. It's like, look,
you know
you
what?
Are
you know
stupid.
What's interesting to me about Kilpatrick? There's exactly almost the opposite thing happening with Obama at the moment.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
You know what I mean? Everybody, this Kwame represents this old kind of traditional African-American politics where it's blame the white man, blame everybody, assault everybody. Obama's not playing any of that. He's not really playing that card. People keep throwing racial stuff at him. Like Geraldine Ferraro, there was a big flap.
That woman is dumb.
I know. She came out and did this whole thing about he was only being successful because he was black, and that's why he was, you know, that people wanted to vote for a black guy so they could feel good, basically. Which would be the first time in American history that people have wanted to support a black man who wasn't throwing a football or running somewhere. But it's like almost exactly the opposite. Obama is getting assaulted, but he's not playing the card the way Kilpatrick's doing it.
Well, he can't because he needs white votes. And I keep telling people, some people tell me, vote for this brother. Everybody got to support the brother. I'm like, if people voted based on race.
Yeah, it's too bad his mom. It's too bad his mom's dead because he could bring her out on the campaign trail and be like, look at this lily white bitch. This is my mother.
Yeah, well, I don't.
You know, I mean, come on. You can't argue.
Yeah, I don't know. The Obama thing, I don't even know that guy can win. I will see. I still think that.
He might.
I think that when it comes down to the actual election, if he is the nominee and there's a Republican nominee, that all that stuff is going to come up. The black people are going to say, you got to support the black guy. White people are saying, I'm not voting for a black guy. You're going to see a lot of that. The old shit's going to come out now. You know, it's all very progressive,
but John McCain
because it's
crazy,
all amongst the Dems.
So
I'm gonna tell you something. When it's all amongst the Dems,
when you got a black guy against somebody who's certifiably crazy, we got to spend 100 years.
The Democrats can raise the level of the debate beyond race, but when it comes down to an actual general election, when it's one against one, the black thing's gonna come up, the woman thing's gonna come up with Hillary. It's just gonna happen. So.
Yeah,
get ready for that.
Listen to the sound of the old white man over there.
If they had Giuliani,
that's what I'm saying. He's going to come
up. I'm going to tell you something.
They have John McCain.
John McCain is a nut job too.
We've
talked about him too.
Who's been on Saturday Night Live? Ever won anything?
No.
Politically,
we'll talk about that because there was a McCain sketch on SNL.
Okay.
Here's something I noticed. I went to Indiana this weekend and did comedy. Okay. And I did like one Obama joke where I said, "I'm glad we're finally going to have a president with an outside jump shot." You know, and
that's fun,
right? And they like that. And then the other comedian went up and did about half his set, and then was like, "Well, I'm a Republican,"
all right.
And that stuff died and went in the tank. Yeah.
Because you know what?
And
it is?
he started talking about McCain.
No, you're right.
I'm just
Democrats are better than Republicans. You're completely right in comedy and in everything else. Their farts don't smell as bad as Republican farts.
I'm trying to explain. Okay. I'm trying to. Just,
I know.
I'm setting up a point here. He did stuff on McCain, and it died. And this is in fucking Mullet Town, Indiana. You know what I mean? He would do this stuff like, well, they say McCain's old, but I call it wisdom. And the room was fucking flat cold. And I'm going, if McCain stuff doesn't go over in Indiana, maybe there's something to this.
Well, maybe the joke's not funny.
Well, yeah.
But don't read too much.
No, it wasn't even jokes. It was like pro-McCain stuff.
I know, but so what? What does that have to do with? I mean, it's just a...
I thought it was interesting.
It's
you
a comic
never,
failing.
Yeah.
That's I mean, comics,
yeah, but
I mean, give you a perspective on a thought.
I don't know, Corey.
You know what I'm saying?
Corey just wants every.
If you make
reason,
a bad
you know, I mean,
joke If you make a bad positive joke about Barack Obama in front of Barack Obama supporters, they'll give you a chuckle.
Right. Well, yeah, I'm mean,
not
whatever.
Okay, the material wasn't the best. But it didn't get the cheap pop that the guy thought it was going to get. The guy was saying it because he thought he was going to get cheap heat for McCain. Well, he didn't get any of that. And I thought, hey, I'm fucking surprised that Hillbilly Town is not buying this.
I don't know that
hype.
That town's not far from Chicago.
It's not that
far. And it's probably largely industrial, and it's probably a lot of Democrats, actually, in that
It's kind of half hillbilly.
I
know what you're saying.
If you were in southern Indiana, it would be different, or around Indianapolis, but I think I think where that town is, Michigan City, is
that
not
town terribly. Might be a little bit more democratic than I thought.
I think it is fairly democratic. But I don't think you can judge stuff on whose
that's not the whole nation. But I thought that was interesting.
Right, let's get to the Spitzer stuff because he's in a situation.
Let's get to that.
Mame.
Strawberry.
And we got to take a break.
Or Kristen.
Yeah. Now, did you see this? Now, I think we can all agree the Spitzer thing is a little more simplified. The guy ordered a Prooker. He transported money. He transported some huge sum of money. It set off an IRS investigation. He transported a woman across state lines for illegal sexual activity, which is...
I've got her MySpace page.
Oh, is that what her MySpace page? Okay. Yeah.
She's got her own music on.
I know. I've heard it's the worst
her
music.
And she actually accepted a friendship.
No, there's a link to her MySpace page.
She has a
which he hasn't taken down.
Yeah, she left it up there.
All right, now, what do you think about this bitch?
Yeah, well,
actually, she ain't bad, though. No,
would you spend $4,000 on that, Mike?
If I had a couple million, I mean.
Well, exactly. It's all relative. If $4,000 is like, you know, is like $100 to me or you, then it'd be worth it.
That looks pretty good to me. That looks pretty good.
Nice.
She's in some music video. Did you see that? She was a girl, but the guy was like the worst rapper he ever heard. It was real ghetto. Like it was not like
BET Uncut video.
It was not even like it wasn't even that good. It was unprofessional. And so she's. I'm gonna just. Are you playing that song or what?
No,
are you
I stopped
doing?
The song.
Okay. Well, if you want to play it, I'll talk over it.
But, no, I just had clicked off the page.
So she's in that, and she's not that hot. She's not hot enough to be one of them video girls. You know what I'm saying? You know what I'm talking about? It wasn't like that.
I mean, she ain't like
she's
drop dead gorgeous, but like,
she's an
she
attractive
good.
Girl. Yeah. But you know, it's not a movie star look. But she's hot. I mean, certainly, I think we'd all fuck her. But it's not when you think about a $4,000 hooker, I don't know.
Yeah,
I'm not thinking that.
You
want
it's relative. Like if you got a couple $1 million,
right.
Do you want to hear the song?
You can hear it. Go ahead and play it for 2 seconds. Right. Just you know. But it's like she thinks she's a singer. And I guess her story is that she wanted to be a singer, and
this
she wasn't
so
making
overdone.
It.
You can't even tell.
Well, it sounds like every other one of these, you know, Beyonce songs, you know, right? So I think that, you know, she was trying to make it in show business, and she ended up a hooker, and I don't think that that's that uncommon of a story, you know.
It's a beautiful story to me.
Well,
it's a story,
you know, whatever.
Shit. She got a story now. She about to have a tell-all.
Isn't the whole point of getting a hooker is that it's supposed to be something no one knows about?
Yeah.
How
he thought he was going to get away with it is amazing.
I don't know, but what a bummer.
Well,
every
other governor get away with it, he probably...
Well, somebody made a good point on one of the shows I was watching, maybe McLaughlin Report something. They were like, you know, there's more hookers in D.C. than about anywhere in America.
Yeah, I know what you're saying.
Why did he have to bring her across state lines?
Because
that's how they got him.
Because he probably banged this chick in New York and wanted her again. Right. That's the theory.
They got him on the Mann Act.
Yeah, the Mann Act, if you don't know what that is, that's what they got like Jack Johnson for.
Right.
And Chuck Berry and all these guys. What it is it's
going that far.
No, for real. It actually is an act that even predates Jack Johnson. It's to prevent white slavery. That's why the law was enacted, and then later it was applied to prostitution.
The man, I'm gonna have to.
It's called the Mann Act. No,
I'm
it's true.
Write a paper
if
on
you
this,
if you like,
no, have you ever seen the Great White Hope? The Jack Johnson movie with
I know I've seen it. I can't recollect though,
James Earl Jones. James they go Earl into Jones. That like his wife was white, and. They busted him for importing a white woman across.
It's like if it's illegal if the act
for
that
immoral
you're,
purposes.
If you're doing an illegal act, which in that case it's prostitution, then it's illegal for him to like pay for a train ticket to get her to Washington. You know what I mean? It's like if I like say like you know I met some. It's just weird. Like if you met like it's the same applied like if it was a 15-year-old girl. That's still illegal sex.
Okay, so
But if it was like a girlfriend, he could have done that.
Now this guy's a Republican, right?
No. He's a Democrat.
No. He's actually you know why you can tell? He was involved in a sex scandal with a woman.
All right.
Stop it. That's how you can tell he's a Democrat.
You mean to tell me they busted him for a law that is actually enacted to, like, a law that's involved with promoting slavery?
No.
He wasn't smart enough to get any black political people on his side. Like, look, I know I did wrong, but they are enforcing the law.
No, it's a
you know what though? The guy got caught and resigned.
It's also
unlike Kilpatrick, who's going to fight this thing.
But
till the end.
Law, the thing with him is like he could be facing charges immediately. The other reason you would have the Mann Act is like say a guy goes to Missouri, goes to some small town, finds some bitches, and says, "I'm going to bring you to Vegas to come work," you know. To come be a hooker.
Mm-hmm.
That's illegal if for the same reason. You're taking women over state. That's
Let's say
federal law.
A guy goes to Nebraska and meets a girl.
Yeah.
And brings her back to, say, Ohio.
Oh, no, stop. That someone's fine. No, but say it's like if you bring a woman to be a prostitute over state lines, that's illegal. But it's called the Mann Act.
What is he already a prostitute?
It doesn't matter. It's like the fact that you provided a way for her to travel. Yeah. In between makes you guilty of this.
So
law.
If he had just gotten a DC hooker, chances are they wouldn't have gotten him.
Well, they wouldn't. They can't get him on a federal charge at that case.
Sure.
In that, they could still get him
I don't
on
think
like
he should have resigned.
Solicitation of a prostitute.
I don't think he
really,
he
in
maybe
DC.
Wanted to design, or maybe he got something
but, you
way
know
more deeper.
That's
in his
the other
closet.
Thing. If Kwame had the feds on his ass,
yeah.
You would see
Kwame's not in federal.
You would
trouble,
see those pinstripe suits being traded for some orange jumpsuit.
It's all city, and like you're saying, he appointed a lot of these people that have to investigate him. And so they're going to be dragging their heels a little bit and not really busting his ass. So
yeah, you know the feds would bust his shit wide open.
That's what they need to do, get a fed charge on him.
But, if they could, I'm sure that'll happen, but I don't know that they can. The feds will get you. That's who gets you. Maybe they'll get him on taxes or something. Who the fuck knows? But
probably. I think he's going to be gone, man.
You think, what's your prediction about the mayor? Give us, in 6 months from now, where will the mayor be? Will he still be Kwame Kilpatrick or will it be somebody else?
It depends on the summer. It depends on the development that's going on downtown. If the development is moving fast,
he'll
be in there. If it's moving slow,
how fast would that development happen?
I just think with our economy, how could it not move slow? And then when you throw this candle on top of it,
here's how fast development, how much time do we have till break?
We can go whenever you're ready.
Okay.
So.
Here's how fast development works in Detroit. I read an article in the paper the other day about this place called the Mercury Bar. It's down across from Slow's, Joel. Do you know what I'm talking about?
I know where it is, but
okay.
Yeah, I mean.
They were like had an article about we're gonna open soon, sometime in the late spring or early summer. That article ran in like 2006 about the Mercury Bar, but you know, like stuff takes forever in Detroit. You know what I mean?
They do run slow, yeah.
Yeah, so I don't know. I don't know how much you could have to save him.
Once they're really investigating that Tamir Green stuff. I think he's going to be out
that's
there.
So that's your theory is that when they find the dead, they know that he killed the hooker. That's going to do it for him.
Yeah.
But nothing else short of that.
But that's
nothing.
Not
you
why he's going to step down.
That
they're going to make up some bullshit reason why he stepped down.
You don't think anything else will get him except for the dead hooker?
You
that's
say
what's gonna get him.
Okay.
The 8-inch stilettos of strawberry point to the road of destruction for Kwame.
Exactly.
Yeah,
so
okay.
It's coming out, man.
All right, let's take a break here. Your political analysis, Mike. What do you got to do now? You got to go take a piss or something?
Yeah.
All right. We haven't even got. Okay, we're going to go to
Mike's
going to
smoke a square and try and calm down about
Mike's
how much
go,
he hates our white asses. So
he needs to go cool down. What do you got? Yeah, there's the cat scared him. Now we're.
Cat.
You are a black guy. You're afraid of it?
Oh,
it's like a horror movie in here. All right, let's take a break. Oh. We're going to play more Hot Chip. This is actually a great tune. This is called Ready for the Floor. This is a big hit.
Where?
You guys are going to like this. It's actually a big dance
okay,
hit. And it's a good
right.
track. You haven't heard yet. It's actually really good. So listen to this. We'll be back with more with Mike Lundy. We're going to talk about comedy when we get back.
Yes.
And that'll be a refreshing change for all
Dick
of us.
Dick jokes aplenty coming up.
And more Guinness we're going to drink. So have a Guinness. St. Patrick's Day. What the fuck? Come on.
distance. I can't hear your voice, dear. I have a choice. You're sinking below. I'm using my force. I'm hoping with chance you might take the stance. You're my number one girl.
All right, back with you. It's Corey and Joel with you. Show 165. Mike Lundy is here. That was Hot Chip with Ready for the Floor.
It's Top of the Morning. It's from Mike Lundy.
Made in the Dark is the name of that album. Mike Lundy is here. Just a couple quick announcements about the show. Don't forget to if you like the show, we're reaching our 3rd year anniversary. We'll be officially celebrating that.
Yes,
probably
sir.
Sometime in the fall, even though it's probably already happened. We haven't done an official thing for that. But if you've enjoyed these 3 years of radio we've given you for absolutely nothing,
yes,
feel free to donate to the Lunch Fund. Go to the main page of CoreyandJoelRadio.com and send us a donation, if
please,
you will.
Please give us a donation large enough to actually be worth PayPal's time.
And I'm going to, okay. And I'm also, don't forget, you can sign up for the mailing list on the front page of CoreyandJoelRadio.com. You will find out when each new show is released. You'll get an email, and we also have special bonus features that you can't get anywhere else. It's even more show. If you can't get enough of this now, the 80 minutes a week we give you, get on the mailing list. So, and don't forget to call our brand new douchebag hotline.
No, I can't believe we haven't been hitting that.
Well, it's 610-552-0746. Leave a message for us. We'll play it on the air. That would be a question
would
for
you?
Us, a comment about the show. You could also leave a comment about, say you ate a Crisp Crunch and you enjoyed it. You could call the hotline and tell us. And we'll play it here on the air. We'll play... anything else you want. If you saw a good movie or a good TV show, call in and give your opinion. We'll play it on the show. And we ask people to record intros a la Rob Rose.
Yes, sir. You can add your own comedy.
And we thought if we had an intro good enough to play, we would play it. Instead, we got this. Are you ready for this? This is the left on our machine here. Yes. Now, Corey. Okay.
This clip's 30 seconds.
I know, but you can play just to actually play the guy's message. Yeah, that would be good.
Guten Morgen. This is Niels from Deutschland. When I'm not watching gay media porn on the computer or exterminating Jews for fun, I listen to the Corey and you, I mean Joel, radio show. Your fault.
Yeah, so he got a laugh. The Corey and Jew line was funny.
That was good.
But otherwise... A little pedestrian to
now,
do a,
he did not
a little pedestrian to do a Niels impression because
well,
we've been doing that for
was,
years.
That was Niels.
Oh, that was Niels. Yeah. Oh, see, I assumed it was
Niels. Can't do
yeah, it. Wonderful. Corey und Joel, American impressors.
Yes.
Yeah. Schweinhund. Und you bring the Schwarzer into the studio to talk his field.
You beat me to that one. But anyway, Mike is here, so call the douchebag hotline. Mike, you got that number?
Yeah, I'm going to put it down. Man.
You know, if you're ever – if you're out
– That number is 610-552-0746.
Give it to one of my friends and let them call. That's
yeah, if you want to call us from the hood, you want to call us from the barbershop or wherever.
I'll stay in the goddamn hood.
Well, wherever you ever – say you're in the
hood.
He
stays in Rosedale Park.
I used to stay in Rosedale Park. Now I stay in Boston Edison.
Oh, damn.
Get up for my parents.
Oh, you
they
moved on
money.
Up.
Really? You got one of them big houses in Boston Edison?
It ain't real big.
Boston
it's
Edison
actually a it's actually like a block off Boston Edison, but it's a nice place.
Boston
my
Edison's
dad's place.
About a four
I'm
block.
A when I go to the hood, baby, shit.
Boston Edison's.
I hang with them, but I don't sleep.
A lot of the guys who made money in the auto industry. Yeah. The founders of that built these big mansions.
It's about a half-mile stretch of really nice houses.
It's a couple of blocks. In fact, I brought Niels to Boston Edison when he was in town as part of the tour. Yeah,
when he wasn't going through the ruins.
Yeah, I was like, we leave the ruins and we go to the Boston Edison.
The ruins.
Now Mike's living up there.
Well, there's
big timing.
What's nice about the Boston Edison neighborhood is that it's not very far from like fish joints and stuff. You know, you can...
It really ain't.
You can go right over there.
I don't know if he's trying to be offensive or not, but it's,
yeah. No, I'm saying the houses are nice, but you're right there.
He's saying when you need a bottle of malt liquor, Mike, you can go get one. That's what he's trying to say.
Man, I have the craziest liquor store.
Do
like
you really?
A block from my house. I will say, my uncle, you know, he stay with us sometimes. You know, he'd like to come over there and like, you know, whatever. And he don't like walking there because he's like, everybody bothers me for change and I think they're going to rob me. He's like an older guy. He's from D.C. He just staying up here for a while working. So, and I like, they never bothered me when I walked to the store. And it's like, it is crazy. I swear to God, if you walked in there, I don't say this about any place in Detroit, but if you walked in there, one of y'all might get robbed.
Seriously, they would rob me.
Well, and it's like the people that own the store are behind the bulletproof cage. And just looking like they don't give a fuck.
They don't give a fuck if I get robbed.
If I'm getting robbed,
they're just going to stand there and...
They behind the cage.
What kind of people are they? Are they Pakistanis?
They are something Caucasian. I don't know.
Something Caucasian?
They're Arabs of some sort.
You sure you can
tell?
Very
Caucasian looking Arabs, though. It's not like they don't have accents or nothing like
that. Chaldeans.
Maybe Greek.
Greeks?
Something like that.
Really? I got a Greek for you.
This goes back all the way to the Civil War.
Oh, yeah, Greeks are racist.
During the slave trading, the slave owner would breed his big black to his big woman so that he could have a big black kid.
Yeah, please. How
there you go.
Movie is
that's
dead.
From
that's from real life.
That's one of the great sages of the modern era, Jimmy the Greek.
That's Jimmy the Greek.
One of the great Greek philosophers.
Jimmy the Greek.
You know who Jimmy the Greek
is? Black is a better athlete to begin with because he's been bred to be that way because of his high thighs and big thighs that goes up into his back, and they can jump higher and run faster because of their bigger thighs.
You got a tape measure? Let's measure Mike's thighs. Do you have bigger thighs? Do your big thighs go back?
I'll measure my thighs against Mike's thighs.
I think you got bigger thighs.
I think I have bigger thighs than Mike.
You don't get a bitch in here to measure my thighs.
Mike, do you have big thighs that go into your back? And that's how you can jump
back.
That's what he says. He says the thighs go into the back.
You heard the man, Mike. I'll play it again.
Can you jump higher?
I could dunk.
That's enough. We don't need to.
He's bred to be better.
I could dunk back in 12th grade.
Okay,
I'm pretty sure I could steal.
But if you've never been in a locker room and seen a guy whose thighs go into his back, you've never seen
how
that.
The fuck do
I mean, I don't know. I don't.
Mike, is it true that blacks have an extra bone in their clavicle? Is that? Can you believe that? Yeah, he got fired for that immediately.
He used to be on the CBS pregame show for the NFL. He used to pick the games. Jimmy the Greek. He's like a betting guy. He would tell you who was going to win. And then he got drunk at a cocktail party, and he told the guy that.
Well, you know what? And I hate to say this because I don't want to justify any racism, but like, I've hung around so many different races. I've heard every race say something
You've heard
stupid
some crazy
about
really?
Every motherfucker. I'm like, how can I get offended by anybody when I hear people from every race, even black people, just say dumb shit? And I'm like, we all just stupid. If we all just got together and said our racist comments together, we would probably be such a better society.
Well, we were doing that
and that's the theme
and
of
don't
this
do
show.
It now. No.
But we were doing this the other night. We were telling jokes.
Yeah, let's go now. No.
No, the other night we were telling jokes at Como's after the
Well, thank show. You, Miss.
I don't know what we're
And
doing.
We were telling these jokes, and I think you were getting offended. Were you getting offended a little bit? Me and Tim Walsh
it
were
just
telling.
Became so
and then
complacent.
You said
it was
started
like, wow,
telling
are these
some.
People really complacent telling nigga jokes in front of me?
I would tell you some of them
was like they weren't bad, they was clever. It was
some of them were a little. Okay.
And matter of fact, I gave an example. I told a story about some, but it was like. Damn, is Joel and Tim getting happy about these jokes?
Well, here's the thing about racist.
Open up Pandora's box.
Okay, here's the thing about racist jokes. Okay, some of them are actually sort of clever. I mean, a couple things, you know, are a little like, and they're not like offensive. They're more like stereotypical, like you know, I bought a computer in the hood and it had tinted windows. That's not a racist joke. Yeah. Okay. That's not like black people have big lips. Now I'm going, it's not like.
He is getting happy. Look at him. He's like.
That's just like an observation about a cultural thing. There are things about, you know, black people are stupid or black people do this or that, and those are actually racist. And I think there's a difference in there. Do you know what I'm saying? Like, it's okay, I think, to tell these jokes about, you know, stereotypical things that happen with black people.
If it makes you feel any better, I call Joel every Dago variation.
You get offended by that.
I'm not offended by it. But
you know, I found out the only thing white people get offended by is like, and I don't even like saying it, like, call somebody white trash. That's the only time white people get offended.
Really?
If you call people white trash, sure.
They get offended. That's only,
I call Russ Brown that 14 times.
Honky cracker, all that stuff. You can never win an argument with a white guy. See, they look at you like he's a cracker, really? But if you call somebody, I actually had a teacher in high school, somebody called him white trash.
A kid called him that?
Really?
Yeah.
He was
it like Marty McFly in Back to the Future when he called him chicken?
It was like that. No, not that you meant that. He was like, excuse me, I may be a lot of things, but I am not white trash. You get your ass out of my classroom right now.
No.
Wow, we threw shit at this dude every day. Like, disrespected the shit out of him. They said white.
Yeah, he did not get paid enough for that gig.
Did you? Okay, well, you know, I have a lot of Italian. Like, it doesn't happen often, but occasionally people will say things about Italians that do offend me. Like, I was working this weekend in kind of this redneck town, and there was this hillbilly guy sitting in the front row. Like, not hillbilly. Yeah, it wasn't quite like that, like Pennsylvania hillbilly. But he was more like a white trash guy, as we would say, right? Even I would say this, you know. And this guy was like, and I said, I do a little thing in my joke, I talk about Italians. I say, are there any Italian people in the room tonight? And, you know, usually there's one or two, you know. Or some, it depends where you are. You're on the east side of Detroit, there's a million Italians. Okay. Yeah.
Hey!
And I go, this is not what this guy said to me, though. I go, are there any Italians in the house tonight? He goes, yeah, they're all in the kitchen. And I'm like, what the fuck does that mean, we're all in the kitchen? And I was like, what is it, 1947? Italians are in the kitchen?
He got you mad.
Now, on a brief side.
And I'm like, that, you can't say that about Italians.
Now,
that is wrong. Would we all agree that that is, like, not a.
He wouldn't have said it back in the 1940s.
You know what's funny, though? At the bar I played this weekend, which was attached to, like, a golf, like, shooting.
It's a driving range.
Driving range, excuse me. I play driving range games. I'm drinking. What's going on with me? I'm losing my mind. There was an Albanian guy in the kitchen.
All right.
And he came out and was telling me about how he grew up in Albania.
Okay.
He claimed the Albanians formed the mafia and the Italians stole the racket.
All right.
And then he was like, I've been here with the hillbillies since 1981.
Okay, so even...
he was like, it was funny. I was like...
Well, I just thought that was racist to call and say the Italians are in the kitchen. Like, that's like a stereotype. Don't they say like Italians are in the mob and that's kind of funny? And I get that. But say like Italians are in the kitchen? Like, what the fuck? Especially if coming from some white trash loser.
There's no such thing as
did you cut into him?
A little bit. I mean, I was on stage. What am I going to do, start a fight with this guy? I mean, I'm trying to do my
show.
You're
a comedian. Cut into
him. Yeah, I cut him to him a little bit.
Joel pulled out his switchblade and said, hey, Mama Luke, come here.
Yeah. I called my uncle Tony. We pulled up with a black sedan in front of the club and took him away.
I'm sorry. We do a lot of humor on this show that we think we're trying to just kind of
understand,
point out the ridiculousness of Jimmy the Greek. And I want you to know, Mike, you're my friend.
But you know what?
And I feel as strongly about you as any of my friends.
True story.
You're
how
my
old
man.
Is Jimmy the Greek?
In fact, I like you better than Tim Walsh. Considerably. Right. So I want you to know, that's a white man I don't like. So there you go.
But Jimmy the Greek, even when he said that, he had to be like
60. He was in his 60s.
He died, I think.
Okay,
I used to work
at nursing homes. It is so funny, the dumb shit. Old racist people. I'm talking
it's
all
so true. Old,
racist.
Old people is a very different
old
story.
People would just go off on a racial. I had a white woman one time. I swear, I told her she was in a wheelchair. She wanted to go back to her room. I said, "Well, they want you to eat." The doctor ordered say they want you to eat. She's like, "Wheel me to my room." I was like, "Well, you can wheel yourself, but I cannot by law wheel you to your room because doctor's orders say they want you to eat. And you got to take this medicine." She just went off and said, "I'm surrounded by apes. I can't stand this shit."
And wow!
It was really so racist. It was so blatantly, unexpectedly racist.
Wow!
I couldn't help but tell everybody, like, "Hey, look, Jean Brunswick from Hamtramck, where the fuck she's from? She just said she is surrounded by apes. Come in here right now. She is acting crazy
because I just told a joke and I'm funny.
I don't think she was trying to be funny with that. I think she was pissed. She
was, and this thing was, like, other old people started wheeling over, like, what did you say? And I was like,
so
wow.
Is she a little senile, or was it like she just was pissed? Like,
she was pissed. She was just, yeah. She do that a lot, though. Like, one time she said crazy shit. One time she told me she was going to cut my balls off. And, like, they came out, and, like, the nurses get this drug called Adderall. That, like,
yeah,
like,
oh, yeah.
And the patients get crazy. She's like, I cut his fucking balls off. Get away from me. Get this fat woman. And she, like, went, she like say crazy shit to everybody, and they shoot her with the drug.
They run up with, like, a syringe and stab her in the neck, and then she puts her
like,
out.
Mike, like, hold her. I was like, shit, I hold her. I choked the shit out this bitch.
Wow.
Was it like Dr. McCoy with that little hypno spray on Star Trek?
That's what they do a real
thing. You should have learned the Vulcan nerve pinch for old people.
It's like right out of the Soviet Union or something. That's like some KGB technique, right?
Yeah.
You put you right under.
And they, like, they don't even, like, they didn't even do the alcohol swab.
No, they just, like, stick it right in.
It's like, psst, psst, psst.
Now, when they, are there old black people in this nursing home, too?
Yeah.
Okay, so when she says she's surrounded by apes, she was pissing a lot of people off.
She's pissing a lot of people off. But then again, it's like, the old white people say racist stuff. The old black people just fight me. I knew a guy, I swear to God. True story. I couldn't exaggerate this. This guy, he had to be about 92. He was blind. He was crazy. Sat in his wheelchair all day. Every time you tried to take him to bed and put him to sleep, he would fight. He'd be like a boxer. Have you ever been punched in the face by somebody you could physically beat up and just couldn't do nothing about it?
Yes, I've had girls punch me in the face.
Yeah.
That are like 9 pounds.
What, that you could get arrested for?
I know, and
you
look at them like,
get,
damn,
like,
bitch.
Press coverage for punching back.
Yeah, Dateline NBC is going to show up. If
and
you
he was
somebody.
Blind, so he was just like, I guess he was listening for my face to come in range. He said, pow. I said, oh, shit. Old guy just hit me in the face hard.
Yeah?
Yeah.
And you can't do nothing about it?
You know, once our show favorite,
yeah,
Nadia.
Yeah, I didn't do nothing about it. I'll say that.
Nadia once punched me in the face.
Yeah?
In a drunken stupor.
Okay.
And she's about 5 foot nothing. And I just looked at her like, bitch.
Yeah.
You know, it doesn't even hurt. You know, it's like.
Why did Nadia?
She was drunk and she was like, ah! And just, and, but hauled off and slugged me in the face. And I went,
I wonder how she's spending St. Patrick's Day.
Woo!
Get her over
Hold
here
on.
Right now.
Hold on. I'm going to go on the police report blog
yeah,
and see
absolutely.
If I can find where
go
she
do
is.
That.
I'll track her by the satellite coverage. They're following her in a helicopter. No, yeah, but it's I know. There's like somebody who like it didn't hurt you, but they punch you in the face.
Oh,
like,
no, this shit hurt it.
Oh, did it?
I've been I get hit by old people all the time watching that job. This is actually the first time it actually like hurt it. Like you ever used to like
he just
you got little cousins or brothers
hit you
like,
in the nose.
It hit me like right here. And he like he had them old knuckles, like old people knuckles.
The bony kind of sharp bony knuckle kind of thing.
Yeah, and it was like clock and it connected. And I had to, like, go to the bathroom and make sure I had no bruises. Because, like, everybody in the place had been hit by, I'll never forget, what was his name? Like, Mr. Brown. Mr. Brown. Everybody had been, like, physically attacked by Mr. Brown. And it was just wild.
Wow, that's crazy.
And I work with old women, like, all the other, like, some of the nurses, they was, like, old. And they had always come asked me to come help and hold Mr. Brown down. Because he had been there throwing a fit, Tom. And he, like, he had these, like, old, he had Alzheimer's. And he had these old fits. And he'd be like, oh, shit, meet me outside some old club. But like, bitch, go start the car. He say wild stuff. And he was like in another world.
Meet me outside the Cotton Club.
Yes, I'm stupid.
Right after Cab Calloway gets off stage. Right?
And I'll be listening. And I was so unprofessional because I'll laugh my ass off at everything he said. Yeah. You shouldn't be laughing at that. I was like, wow. I'm sorry, but this dude is hilarious.
Right. Wow. Well, Tales from the Nursing Home with Mike Lundy.
Why don't you give us an update on your comedy career since the last time you were in here? It's been a while.
You call it a career?
Well, I'm calling it, Bob. I call mine a career, and it's not a whole lot better.
I just did the Ann Arbor Comedy Showcase.
Yeah, how was that this weekend?
It was nice, man. I worked with Alan Ball, Connie Ettinger. Connie Ettinger, coolest chick in comedy games.
Yeah, okay.
We've
had Connie on the show.
Roger, yeah, run Ann Arbor Comedy Showcase.
Yeah, Roger's a good guy.
Yeah. Alan Ball, he was the headliner. It was very
Alan Ball, the big guy from Florida.
Yeah.
Okay.
Everybody know him.
You liked him?
He was cool, man. Right. He was real cool, man. The crowd was nice. I hung out. Shout out to all my people at UAM. Went down and they celebrated St. Patrick's Day on Saturday.
Yeah, they celebrated all weekend. Yeah.
I don't know what it is about drunk girls in college, they don't sit down and wallflower for nothing.
Yeah.
They was out there dancing.
Yeah, were you dancing with some bitches? What you doing over there?
No, nah, man, I was trying to get my. I was watching. I couldn't dance with them because, like, you get all these nerd guys surrounding the flow, and, like, drunk women. I should have known better. Drunk women would dance with anybody, and, like, drunk guys were swarming the dance floor, and it was just, like, offbeat and just. And the women was like, not offbeat because they was white, but offbeat because they was drunk. Right.
But don't these girls?
No, they were offbeat because they were white.
Don't these girls know you from the show? Weren't they there? And
oh no, I went somewhere else. This was that.
Yeah,
episode,
you didn't. Yeah. Okay.
Nah.
See, usually you gotta either stay at the club. This is how you get pussy. Getting being comedy. You either gotta stay in the club where you were a big star, or you gotta go somewhere with people. Who at least saw the show?
Right. Well, I had made plans already because I know people.
If you walk you walk into a bar in that town unannounced,
yeah,
you're nobody.
Right, but once they've seen you on stage, then you're like a big fucking deal.
Yeah,
but once they don't know that you were down, you know, if they don't know who you are, then yeah,
nah, yeah,
well, that's too bad.
But yeah, it was fun. We went out to two bars, man. I went out to one bar. Some guy gave me a free drink.
A guy gave you a free drink?
Well, it wasn't like he offered it to me. It was like he had like a big ass green drink, and yeah. I was like, "What is that?" I knew it was St. Patrick's Day. He was like,
"Yeah,
how did that beer taste? Take it." I was like, "Huh?
That's
take it. If you drink it all, it's
you know
free.
What? That's the magic of drunk people. They really are charitable. They will give you stuff. They will just hand you."
So
things.
The guy who had drunken himself completely stupid, you said, "I need some of that."
I just asked, you know, I asked what it was. I was like. This grain, what is that?
You took
it
though, didn't you?
Take it. I was like, well, fuck it. Yeah.
So you drank it.
I wanted to taste it. I mean, it looked full, so I know he just got it. He didn't drink it already.
Okay, all right.
And the headline the next morning, young black comedian poisoned with.
That's what I was worried about. I was like, wow.
Okay. Well, that's good. That's certainly a perk. Going out, get a free drink.
Joey's Comedy Club in 2 weeks. Come out to Joey's Comedy Club in 2 weeks. Mike Lundy will be there emceeing, so come check me out. Then we got the Easter Comedy Jam at the Opera House next Sunday.
Yeah.
Oh, I will be pitching. Bartending.
You're pitching like Don Tower Willis. Listen to you selling your stuff.
I will be bartending down there. Come down to the bar.
Does that help you get into any of those gigs?
You know what? I don't like to, you know, some comedians come down. I know a lot of comics, you know, they came down. They try to get in on the show.
Yeah.
I don't do that. Even I work there, and I don't try to do
right,
that
but you
shit,
could man. Talk to the promoter or somebody.
Yeah, I could, but I could make $500 on the bar. Fuck getting on that stage.
Nah, but I mean, it might be, you know what? Maybe here's what I'm thinking, though. If you go up and you show the management or whoever's running this opera house that you actually are a talented comic, they might be like, oh, shit, we might lose Mike. This is a guy with the future. They'll treat you better.
But I would rather do that with somebody who I would vibe with during the show.
Yeah.
You know, because, like, you know, it's the comics there. I could probably do good there.
Yeah.
But I probably wouldn't vibe with them according to the management. So I would, like, rather.
All right. So, but you're saying if you picked a different showcase.
Yeah, yeah. Right. If it was somebody.
Well, you should do that. I mean, why not? You got an inside track, and there's nothing wrong with that.
I'm about to be backstage anyway. I talk shit with Monique. Me and Monique almost got into an argument.
You and Monique?
Time.
Oh, damn. She's going to beat your ass,
well,
Monique.
Were you reaching for the last chicken wing?
Yeah. How does that happen?
She's getting in front of her rib platter.
I was asking her because, like, she had did, like, she actually attracted, like, a majority Caucasian crowd.
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
So I was asking her, like, look, I know your work. But you had a majority, like, suburban, not like Detroit Caucasian, like,
yeah.
You know.
Oh, absolutely.
I was, you know, I was like.
Detroit Caucasians are wearing Doc Martens and, you know.
So I was asking, I was like.
In Corktown right now.
Being an urban comedian, or being a comedian, period, depending on what your crowd is, sometimes you switch it up and go to different stuff.
Sure.
And I was asking her, like, well, how did you change this joke, or did you do anything different? She was like, I wouldn't do nothing different from nobody. I don't care who was out there. I'm like, I told her, I was like, well. You're lying. I'm a comic, so talk to me for real. What you mean, talk to you for real? And I'm like, well, I said I do comedy. I know how your set is. The people came to see you. I know you weren't doing 90% pussy and dick jokes. I know you had to add something else in, so we was going back and forth. We was going back and forth politely, but it was like.
Well, okay. I agree. No. First of all, I completely agree with you on that. I think Monique does draw a white crowd. I think she, in the eyes of many black people, is what they think black people are going to be. Big and fat and jolly and kind of obnoxious and funny. And that's a lot of what's typical. But I'm saying that's what a lot of typical white people who maybe are somewhat racist, that's what they look for. They wouldn't go see a black political comedian for, you know what I'm saying? Like a Chris Rock, they wouldn't go to.
Chris Rock actually sold out.
No,
Chris
I don't,
Rock gets
I don't
white
think,
people, but
he gets
younger,
a lot of white people.
But you're saying, I'm thinking you're saying it's suburban, older suburban people that see.
Yeah, people that seen her.
That's
TV
what I'm
show.
Saying. Yeah, yeah, people that see the TV show, or she's in a lot of movies where she's kind of the.
No, let me ask you this: is Cat Williams drawing white people?
Yeah, he did. He drew a few. He's see, probably, Cat Williams came down there.
He's probably pissed about that now because.
Actually, you know what? Cat Williams got upstaged and. Shout out to Cat Williams. I ain't got nothing against him. Right. I know both of y'all. Maybe y'all heard of Clipper Man.
No.
The comedian. He
from Detroit?
Yeah.
Yes, I'm familiar
Clipper
with Clipper
Man from
he did
Detroit?
A show down there, and the second show, Clipper Man, was like the opening act. And people actually came out, and they liked Clipper Man better than Cat Williams.
Oh, damn.
So was he
Cat.
Doing the dance and stuff, the music? The
yeah, he did yeah. all that shit.
Yeah, he does like a...
Clipper
like
Man?
A, yeah, he does like a, yeah. a voice, you know.
But Cat Williams brought out every... He sold out two shows.
Really?
He don't even want to come to our spot no more because we funny. Don't sell enough tickets.
Because of Clipper Man?
No, Cat Williams.
Oh, Cat Williams is yeah. saying
Clipper
that, yeah.
Man did a comedy contest in Livonia and bombed... like Nagasaki. He came out and did his little dance really? Routine and then was all like... Man, what's with fags? And he was wearing like a hot pink shirt while he was.
Fags.
Oh yeah, it was all like gay jokes, and he's wearing a hot pink shirt. And I'm
well,
like,
shout
no.
out to Clipper Man. I started doing comedy with you, man.
Oh yeah,
you my boy.
I never met Clipper.
I started
man.
Out doing comedy with a lot of motherfuckers. Hey,
but oh, what I was saying about that is, I could see that act working in another room. The Clipper Man.
Exactly.
Act.
People don't know the see, dynamics of comedy. It's like you can. You know right. when different acts will work well, in different places.
Let me ask you this, because I've never heard of Clipper Man. That's certainly crazy. You were telling me the other night about. We were talking about, you know what Mike got offended about, Corey? And this is something that you and I have been doing since probably day one of the show and even before that. He was like, what were your black comedy names? He asked me the other night.
Oh.
And I said we were Grape Soda and Cornbread.
Yeah.
And Mike got all offended that we were going to be Grape Soda and Cornbread.
No, I got offended when you – no, first he said it was – he just said one name. I think he said like, yeah, my name was Cornbread.
Yeah.
But when he said grape soda and cornbread, he put it in perspective.
No, but one like of us is grape satire. Soda and one of us is cornbread. I don't sure. know who we figured
when
out.
When you put it in perspective, like, yeah, it's a satire, yeah, grape soda and cornbread. When you just like, yeah,
well,
my name
is hopefully we can open for Kool-Aid.
Yeah, but I'm saying if we're going to be on with Clipper Man, and then you told me about a guy. Do you remember the guy you told me with the black comedy name? Because I'll say it if you know, but it was
white
funny.
White chocolate.
No, not white chocolate.
White boy Ray.
Food stamp.
Oh no, that's a white. That's a black guy.
Food. Yeah, that's what I'm saying. That's a black guy though. So why is my black comedy name offensive when there's food stamp?
And I was drunk. I don't
know. I know, but that's there's a guy named food stamp. And I'm like, I'm cornbread and Corey's grape soda, and now you're all offended. I'm shocked by that. Mm. And
that was probably after like the eighth. Black joke. Yeah, maybe, yeah. After the eighth black
Yo,
joke, yeah, I got
it.
Kind
you
of, you know.
Stop it.
Coming to the Fox Theater, it's the comedy of Food Stamp.
But you know what?
With Afro Pick.
You know what I have to say? And I don't know how many people listen to y'all's show.
Menthol.
But yeah, I don't try to shit on nobody for what they do, but like Food Stamp is a stretch. I'm sorry. Food
exactly.
Stamp,
Food Stamp
there,
is retarded.
Like, wow. Okay. Your name is Food Stamp. More power to you. If I meet you, you're a nice guy, but I mean.
But the,
how about the hilarious?
I can't rap with you. I can't rap
really?
With you tonight.
How about the hilarious comedy stylings of Handcuffs?
Okay, now, but don't you think that food stamp gives people, white people, the impression that
yes, I do.
Black people are you know fools or sort of foolish or sort of stupid or you know
well, see, now you
ignorant?
Confuse me. We get into a political discourse.
No, I'm talking about when it comes to comedy.
On the comedy show.
When you have
guys
named
yeah.
Foolish and Clipper Man and all these sort of ghetto names. That white people might look at that and see that it's sort of a minstrel show. Or that's the way black people are portraying themselves on stage.
I can understand that, yeah.
You know, cool. You know, even Kool-Aid, who's actually a pretty good comic,
yeah, yeah,
he's
I
got
about
kind
to
of a
that.
Silly name.
As
you
far
know?
As like, as far as what you're saying, I can understand what you're saying. But yeah. Like, yeah, one guy like Kool-Aid...
is a good comic. I'm not
Kool-Aid is probably yeah. one of the best comedians... Mm-hmm. In the Midwest, period.
But why have the goofy name? Why have the goofy, silly name?
Like, I don't know. I have to ask him
like
that. But
Earthquake
you know,
is a pretty is a
Earthquake
pretty
is good.
Good comic.
Man, that's it would be good.
Why does he need that name?
It would be good if like more comedians like Kool-Aid and Earthquake were the only comedians with that name. But you get a lot of subpar comedians who just coming into the game yeah. and want to pick up a name like
well,
you
they're
know,
trying to brand themselves.
We had a guy, you know, it's like they get attention.
I'm down later. And yeah. you're not funny.
Well, we had a guy at Club Bar, not that this guy made it big, but his name was Problems. And his whole act was like, I got problems, y'all. Cable company gonna come cut off my shit. I got problems, y'all. That was his whole act.
But
was
at
like
the same
that.
Time, if I had a funny name, maybe I'd be on
but
TV.
But no. See, I respect guys that don't use the funny name. Because I think that's a shortcut, and I think it. You know, guys like you, guys like Mike Bonner, guys that have more of a regular name, I have more respect for you guys.
Mike, I think it might help you. So I'm going to say right now, if you've got a new black comedy name for Mike Lundy, please call the Douchebag Hotline at area code 610-552-0746.
As bougie as my mother is, she is like an uppity class, Fresh Prince of Bel-Air wannabe type black woman. She told me my name. She was like, you should call yourself M.F. Lundy. And then because my middle name is Frederick, call yourself M.F. Lundy, motherfucker Lundy. Let me take out that money. Like, my, you really want me to call myself M.F.
That's
Lundy?
That's great.
M.F. Lundy, motherfucker Lundy, take out your money.
I'm going to call you M.F. Lundy from now on. I like it. It's good. Man.
Well, I just think that's...
I called Tim Walsh M.F. and Tim Walsh, so...
But you know what's,
I don't know
what's worse, and like I said, I don't got no... A couple of white comedians that do black rooms exclusively.
Yeah.
Like, they got the same names.
You
and they
call them
stupid.
Out. Who cares? They're never going to come on here.
I ain't calling them out.
You talking about Snow Cone?
No. I like Snow Cone.
Snow Cone plays a lot of white rooms. But that's a white guy who wants to be black.
I know at least one white room he's not playing again.
Yeah, I know. But Snow Cone's a guy... Snow Cone's a guy who thinks he's black.
But yeah, I mean, that's...
I hear actually...
But that's not it?
Snow Cone was
actually... What are you talking about? Guys who don't do a black act, they do a white act? Or what are you saying?
No, we got a lot of white guys out there who do... Not a lot. You got a few white guys who do black rooms.
Okay.
Predominantly. And they like got like a catchy name.
Yeah.
And you know what? I can't get mad at... It's a lot of stuff in comedy I can get mad at. Yeah. And that's one of them. I can't get mad at them. But yeah, they come up with a catchy name, you know.
But do you think that helps these guys?
Shit, yeah. To get help paid more than me, fuck them. Yeah.
Hey, there's right. white guys with stupid names like Carrot Top and...
there's a few of those,
there's
sure.
There's the Craig Shoemaker, who's the Love Master.
Yeah.
There's you know, some guys have dumb gimmick in marketing, and we're
but
not...
You know
I'm not a favorite for anybody.
They help you in some cases,
Haywood
and they don't
Banks.
Help you or not.
Yeah.
Yeah.
But when you want to be a genuine comic, I think, you know, like... Chris Rock, genuine. Dave Chappelle, genuine comic.
Yeah.
Eddie Murphy, genuine comic.
Sure.
Fucking
Bernie
Mac,
even.
Bernie
you know,
Mac.
You go to that.
Even guy. White comics that can do both. Right. Robert Schimmel. I swear to God, Robert Schimmel would kill in any bar in Detroit.
Yeah. Right.
Just regular.
He would get killed
you don't
in
always
any bar
have
in Detroit.
Now, Robert's a funny comic. I know what you're saying. But, yeah, a lot of these guys, you know, they're playing.
Even Corey would kill. I think
there's some rooms I could do well in.
You ever go down and do any of these black rooms?
Not in a long time because it's I need an ambassador.
Not a room, a bar. We ain't got no black
rooms. Well, there used to be. There used to be some.
They kind of come and go sometimes.
We have a black room.
Mike, if you're my ambassador, I will go. Do you know what I mean?
You want me to be there with you?
Well, I need somebody that will kind of introduce me to the scene. And
yeah, I was talking to a black comedian.
You used to go down to Coco's, and they would bring out their keys and chase your ass off the stage.
That's what they did to me.
Yeah.
They did this to me. They used to do this thing. They get you off the stage, and they used to jingle their keys.
Yeah.
I hope you all can hear that.
I went to Coco's one time when I was starting out, and it was enough.
But I went on, and I followed, like, I was the first comedian. It was an open mic, but it was open mic, like, you could do anything at open mic. You could rap. You could sing. Whatever. The MC was a comedian.
You could shoot a stripper.
Well, whatever you wanted to do on open mic, you could do. So I go up there, and I'm the first actual comic. I follow two hip-hop groups on stage. So I get up there, and I walk out, and they immediately start doing this. So they haven't even heard a joke, and they're asking me to leave.
Damn.
And I was pretty new to comedy. I'd been doing it maybe 2 years
and
or something.
And then I had a comedian, Roy Wood Jr.
Yeah.
He said he went out there. He actually did a show out here and stayed an extra night so he can go do Coco. He heard it wasn't an exclusive room. He was like, I want to do your open mic.
Yeah, right.
He called him up. They was like, yeah, come down to the open mic. He didn't know it was like open mic, hip-hop, and whatever
night.
Yeah,
it's open mic, whatever.
And he went up there and like, my man Foolish, WJLB, he was like, this next motherfucker coming up, funny as hell. Give it up for my nigga Roy Wood Jr. And he said he went out there and they just like, he couldn't get through one joke.
Really?
And
so
they
killed
him.
Being a comedian is much harder than it looks. I mean, really, people look at me and they laugh.
But see, what they also do in the black comedy club is they do like this. they applaud. They don't laugh. They applaud if they approve of your jokes. Right. So when I started getting into my jokes, you know, they were like, everyone would like, my whole setup was like this. just keys, right? But then when I hit the punchline, people be like,
oh, they got it.
And they'd be applauding. And as long as the applause drowns out the keys, see, then you could keep going. So I made it. They gave you 5 minutes. I made it to 4 minutes, and then they threw me off.
Damn, the, you are.
Yeah.
Well, that's good, man.
But I did good because then my buddy Ken Klein was with me. You know Ken, who's like a super white guy, right?
And, he's extra white.
He's extra white.
He's double white.
So they put Ken. Ken lasted like a minute. You know, they threw him right off.
You but, cut Ken. He bleeds yogurt.
Yeah. So anyway, you know, that's how white clubs, Ken I've is. Not had good experiences at the black clubs. But
I would love to.
Okay.
But I think you need to have certain rep going in.
You can have rep.
Robert Schimmel could go into a black club and have a name and people, you know what I mean?
Don't like black people know who Robert Schimmel is. I'm not. The only black person who knows.
Yeah,
who
he's a is, fucking great comic though, Robert.
Who's a white comic who could go into a black, like Dave Attell? Would anybody black people know who he is?
Dave Attell probably do. It's, well, I think white comics you got to have a certain like
edge.
I don't give a fuck edge.
Yeah, I've got a little bit of that.
Yeah. Like if you came in there you'd be like, yeah. Fuck y'all.
Yeah, shut up. Yeah.
The first.
And then I'd say something like, you know, hey, suck on a banana, General Ursus, and I'd get shot. You know, I'd be like, hey, Dr. Zaya, shut the fuck up. And then boom. I'd
be, that might be the racist stuff that gets you a laugh.
The first white comedian ever on Def Comedy Jam was Rich Voss.
Really?
I saw that one. Yeah, Rich Voss.
Yeah, Rich Voss.
And he came
out.
He didn't give a fuck.
He's a real tough New York guy.
All right, we've got just like 3 minutes left. Mike, quickly.
Let's go overtime, man.
Nah, fuck all this. No.
Talk about something else. You can't do it.
Mike, you want to do overtime?
We'll do overtime. We're lazy white people.
Mike, anyway.
Debbie Schlossel, y'all.
No. You know what?
Look, Mike, I'll tell you what.
There was Cass, y'all. Go.
We're going to do Mike bonus time.
We'll give you some
extra
time.
We'll end this show, and then we'll do a bonus.
We'll do the Mike Lundy show after the show.
How about that?
We'll give you your own show. You can interview me and Corey.
Whatever you want to talk about.
But here's the thing. Yeah. Real quick, Saturday Night Live this weekend with Jonah Hill. I watched it the last 2 weeks with Amy Adams and Ellen Page. We think we talked about the Ellen Page one. You know, and God damn it, Jonah Hill's a funny dude, but man, something's wrong with that show.
Here's what's wrong with that show. There were like 3 sketches that played to his strengths. And one of them was like the last sketch of the night. Did you see him with a date where like... He went on a date with a girl and lied about everything.
Lying about the internet.
Like
That was okay.
That was catered to him. Mm-hmm. And a couple of there was one other sketch that was there was a game show. It was called What's Your Situation?
I thought he was good as the 6-year-old boy at the Benihana.
Yeah, that was okay too.
He was like an insult.
But then he was in these sketches where it was nothing to do with Jonah Hill.
It was really bad.
Like Target.
Do you agree with me on that one?
You know what it seemed like to me? Like it seems like. You know, sometimes you go out to open mic night and comedians do jokes that cater to, like, other comedians. Mm-hmm. It seemed like Saturday Night Live is getting to that point where, like, a lot of sketches cater to writers. Mm-hmm. Like, if you're a writer or if you're a comedian, you could understand the joke, but you know it's not really going over like it should.
They got to get rid
of
Will.
The whole Ellen Page show was, like, it catered to, like, writers.
Yeah, the Ellen Page show was bad. This one was bad, too, even though... You know,
and they did.
He's good. First of all, I think Amy Poehler can go. I think she's not even looking good anymore. Amy Poehler. I'm done with
her. She does a lot of stuff.
The girl that's the new featured player is cute. Mm-hmm. I could see more of her. I forget her name.
I was actually discussing how this was one of the more bangable casts.
She's maybe the.
I like Kristen Wiig. She's pretty good.
Wiig's all right. And then this chick, that's whoever, I forget her name, but she's the one like chick with like and featuring and like and it's.
They had nothing for Keenan to do.
Yeah, they just drag
Kenan
him out.
Keenan and Fred Armisen, I don't know why they are underusing them.
Yeah, they're underusing.
Yeah.
Throw out
Keenan, it was like, I'm on the show, and then it was it. He walked into one scene and walked out.
Yeah, I agree with you on that. I think that's not good. And
you know what was weird? They had a McCain sketch.
Yeah.
But they didn't. Usually they put the political stuff up front.
And well, McCain but they did a Spitzer sketch to start the show.
I know, but the McCain sketch was kind of late in the show, and you're like, that's what they're known for. Is those political bits.
Well, they're known for sucking now. Anyway, Mike, thank you very much for coming in here. Anything you want to plug?
Yes.
MySpace or anything like that? What do you got?
Mike Lundy, Mike Lundy comedian. Just look up Mike Lundy. Google it.
He's on
so
MySpace.
I feel so good that you can Google me. I'm on the first page, so just Google Mike Lundy.
He's at a glass of
gin. There's no NFL player named Mike Lundy because there's like
it ain't nobody. It's like a lawyer named Mike
There's like
Lundy.
A safety named Corey Hall that blocks me out.
Yeah, all right. Corey, why don't we play some more of Hot Ship for everybody? And don't forget Douchebag Hotline, 610-552-0746. And whatever
call
else.
Call me. Maybe it's late.
In the privacy. All right, we'll catch y'all on show 166. and whatever else we can find you. Thanks for listening.
God
Happy
bless you.
St. Patrick's Day.
That's right. I'm going to roll down to the ghetto and become the new black comedy sensation.
Our
white boy.
In
the privacy I need a cornbread. Grape soda.